And we'll read the first five verses. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Now I think that will suffice for the reading of God's precious word, and we look to God to bless his word indeed. We have, beloved, a very wonderful subject before us, namely the high priest's garments for glory and beauty. We believe that the Aaron and his garments point forward in type and picture to a greater high priest to come, even our Lord Jesus. So we see in the garments for glory and beauty that adorned Aaron, we see how it looks forward, it foreshadows the greater priest to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. You will see that in the garments of the high priest, he is just about, isn't he, clothed from head to foot. No shoes. One striking omission in the garments. No shoes the high priest wore. I wonder whether that tells Aaron that there's a real sense in which he was always in the presence of God, and had to treat God with absolute reverence and carefulness and in consecration. No shoes, no breeches are mentioned, like to do with the sons of Aaron in the book of Leviticus, to cover the flesh. The flesh principle was not in the Lord Jesus. We thank God for the sinlessness, the impeccability of our Lord Jesus. So even in the omissions of the high priest's garments, we see instruction. We see interesting things concerning our Lord Jesus. No shoes and no breeches. Now, beloved, all of these garments point forward to different aspects of the excellencies and glories of the Lord Jesus. No one can read the Epistle to the Hebrews, for example, without arriving at the very happy conclusion that Aaron himself and his garments, as well as his work, point forward and foreshadow the greater glories of our Lord Jesus. We think of Aaron's experience in Egypt. Moses was not in Egypt, but Aaron was. And that fitted Aaron to be Israel's first high priest. He knew what it was to suffer along with the people of God in their bondage there in Egypt. So, our Lord Jesus Christ has been here. The thought of experience. The Lord Jesus has been tested without sin. Thank God tonight for the holy, sinless, pure life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but it's interesting to see, beloved, that all his garments speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. His experience here. Even Aaron's name is instructive and perhaps points to the Lord Jesus. Very high. Is this not a veiled reference in type to the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ? He has been made very high. That was quoted at the end of Hebrews chapter 7. The preeminence and greatness of our Lord Jesus. Beyond the reach of sinners. Separated from sinners, made higher than the heavens. So his experience in Egypt is typical of our blessed Lord. His name very high, the exaltation of the Lord. And then you'll notice too, not only that, but we find the excellency of his ministry, the exercise of his ministry, the exercise of his priesthood. So three ideas, three thoughts. The exercise of his ministry in heaven, and then the exaltation of the Lord, our great high priest in heaven, Hebrews 7, and then the thought of his experience. Beloved, there are three references, interesting references, outside of the book of Exodus or Leviticus to these psalms. Quite interesting. Psalm 133. As the anointing oil was upon the head of, poured upon the head of Aaron, and flowed down the garments, even to the skirts of the garments. Notice the oil did not touch the flesh. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the holy anointing oil flowing down, freely flowing down. Beloved, if there's unity among God's people, if it is to be achieved and maintained, it must come down from God. We cannot create it. No matter how much energy, fleshly wise, we put into it, it won't work. We need to depend upon God. It comes from God. So the reference in the psalmist, Psalm number 133, is quite interesting. And then you remember Joshua, the high priest, in the book later of Zechariah chapter 3. Clothed in filthy garments, how sad that is. What a far cry, beloved, from the beautiful, resplendent, glorious, distinctive, colourful garments. What a far cry, I repeat. Joshua is seen in the vision there. Clothed, filthy garments. That's just a symptom. That's just a little picture there of Israel's decadence, Israel's disobedience, Israel's apostasy. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 133, interesting reference to the garments. Joshua in Zechariah chapter 3, interesting reference back to the contrast to these garments of glory and beauty. We come to Matthew chapter 26. And because the Lord Jesus claimed to be, and made it clear that he was the Son of God, they accused him of blasphemy. And you remember in a fit of temper and anger, the high priest Caiaphas at that time rent his garments. Now I believe that was significant. He ought not to have done that according to Leviticus 21 verse 10. Did he forget his very own law? Was he in such a rage he did this? He tore and stripped his garments off. I think, dear brethren, in Matthew 26, with Caiaphas there, the high priest of that time, I believe we have there a picture of the end of Judaism, the end of its systems and ritual. Torn garments of that high priest. God had finished with the Aaronic priesthood. Now no need for the garments. No Israelite could ever have mistaken Aaron. They would know, because of his distinctive garments, and glorious and beautiful, his permanent garments, that he was the high priest. Beloved, these are lovely things concerning our Lord Jesus. Do you know something? Think of his garments for a while. They were holy garments. Holy garments. In the ceremonial sense. Holy garments. They are called in the book of Exodus garments for glory and beauty. Listen. If there is no holiness among us, no practical holiness in our lives, there cannot be glory and beauty. The experience and the manifestation among us of glory and beauty, the lovely traits of our Lord Jesus, his lovely features. How can we enjoy that if we're dabbling in sin and we haven't confessed our sin and we don't realise that we've departed from God? Holy garments. They were harmonious garments. What do you mean harmonious? Well, look at all the colours of the garments of the high priest, Israel's first high priest Aaron. Look at the colours. If you saw Aaron in the tabernacle, serving in the tabernacle, you would see in a wonderful way, and I enjoyed this thought, that his garments blended in with the colours of the tabernacle. Those garments were in harmony, we might say, with the surrounding in the tabernacle. Beloved, what a challenging thought. What about me? Is my life in harmony with God? Do I enjoy God's presence? Is my life harmonious, in tune with God? Or are there too many contrasts? What a thought. What a thought indeed. Holy garments. Harmonious garments. More than that, they were hereditary garments. The time would come when even this great man Aaron would die, and his high priesthood office would have to continue in his son. In number 20 we read of the transfer of his garments. You see, the high priesthood in Israel was successful. Hebrews 7 argues they could not continue by reason of death. When you look at Hebrews 7, look at this. The number of the priests, the number. Many, in contrast to the singular, one great high priest, our Lord Jesus. The number. The need of these priests. They had to offer for themselves sin offerings. They were sinners. So the writer in Hebrews 7, extolling the virtues and glories of our great high priest, dwells upon the number of these priests of the past economy, the high priests. He dwells too and makes use of not only the number, but the need of these men. And then in the last verse, Hebrews 7, verse 20, he dwells on, doesn't he? He dwells on the nature of the Lord Jesus. The Lord maketh men. These high priests had ritualistic work to deal with. It was very demanding. His diary was very full every day. He couldn't afford to make a wrong step or do a wrong thing or forget something. Much hinged and depended upon the ministrations of Israel's first high priest Aaron, even for the rest of the offerings of the Israelites. You see, they're men, and only men, important men, useful men we trust, raised up by God, but they're only men. But the Son is consecrated evermore. So in Hebrews 7, you young people get hold of this, in a passage which throws light on the garments, and gives us every New Testament authority and sanction for viewing these garments of Aaron as a type and picture of the greater high priest to come, our Lord Jesus in all his glory. Hebrews 7 dwells upon the number of these people, these priests. Dwells upon the need of these priests. Dwells upon the nature of these priests. They're just. But let us remind our heart, the Lord Jesus, according to Hebrews 4, is the Son priest. Thank God for his sonship, his eternal sonship, and his priesthood. Hebrews 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Aaron, good as he was, important as his work was, my dear friend, he was a great man. He had an important work to do. He was no apostle. He wasn't sent like Moses was. The Lord Jesus is seen in that passage in two lights. The apostle, the one who came out. The high priest, the one who has gone in. Isn't that lovely? His simple truths are precious to do with the person of Christ. He's the apostle. There was an apostle high priest before. The first apostle high priest is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's come out. He's gone in to represent his brethren. These are lovely thoughts to me. And I'm conscious that I'm speaking on a subject that maybe many here have not been exposed to previously. Listen well. Our remarks may be simple and not too deep, but the truths symbolized and pictured in Aaron's garments are very precious. Harmonious garments. Yes. But also hereditary garments. Time will come when they had to be passed on. I wonder, spiritually, may I apply this? What are we passing on to our children, our family? Are we intent and concerned more with leaving a good bank balance? How are we training them? Are we passing on the truth of God? Trying by the Holy Spirit to get our children, our family to cherish truths and to value the truth of God and to live for it and live by it. Holy garments. Harmonious garments. Hereditary garments. What about handmade garments? These garments were handmade. Pomegranates between the bells. All these garments were real. You could touch them, you could wear them. They were real, genuine, literal garments. But one thing in all the garments was not unreal. Was not real. Pomegranates. They were an imitation of the fruit of the land of Israel. But only invitation. Can we not say tonight, beloved, that I say with joy, there's nothing fake about Christ. He's genuine. He's real. There never was any pretense in him. The Lord Jesus never needed to move into imitation of any kind. So the only thing that wasn't real in the garments, you might think it's not a big point, but I think it's interesting, was the pomegranates. Holy garments, yes. Harmonious garments, hereditary garments, handmade garments. Can you think of the skill and the patience and the fine work that's gone into this, can you? Aaron, Israel's first high priest, did not have the dignity to wear these garments. He didn't deserve them. He certainly, may I say, respectfully concerning Aaron, he was not worthy of them. The garments adorned him, but it's different with our Lord Jesus. He adorned the garments. And we see, don't we, beloved, in the transfiguration, his garments became glistening like snow. He adorned the garments. Beloved, I hardly know what next to go to. This is such a full subject. Aaron's garments were glorious. Picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. The coat foundation garment, underneath the robe of blue, the coat, tells us what? No one can spoil the character of Christ. And then, the girdle, the unseen girdle. No one can see the hidden wealth of Christ. The robe, no one can strip the Lord of his glory. The breastplate, no one can separate the believer from the love of Christ. Isn't that precious? The Urim and the Thummim, no one can solve our problems and give us answers like our Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a young man several years ago. He said, "Mr. Self, what's the meaning of the Urim and Thummim?" I said, "I really don't know. I'm not too sure. I think they were two stones. But we're not told. I think they were literal. They were placed in the bag in the pouch of the breastplate. And I think, as we will see, the Holy Spirit is the parallel, or the New Testament parallel, to the Urim and Thummim." But I said, "Listen, young man. Whatever the Urim and Thummim was, the high priest, ascertaining for an Israelite the mind of God, the answer of God for his problem. Remember this. If you're using and thumbing the word of God, you'll get to know it." May I repeat that? If you're using and thumbing the Bible, the word of God, you'll get the answer. Dig deep. Look at the clean pages of your Bible. I was in Ezekiel 47 in Edinburgh last positive. They enjoyed it. The clean pages. When did you last read Ezekiel, even Ezekiel 47? Wonderful chapter. Oh, may God help us to be using and thumbing the word of God. Not only that, the shoulder with the shoulder pieces, no one can strengthen us. No one can support us like the Lord Jesus. The mitre, there we are, the mitre, the head covering of Aaron. No one can serve acceptably apart from our Lord Jesus. Why do we need a high priest? It's a good question. Why do we need a high priest? We need a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to go into the sanctuary. Through his high priest mediation, we are able to draw near. He helps us in our worship, and certainly to all our prayers and praises, he has his own sweet perfume, we sometimes say. Lovely, that's true. He makes our imperfect service, imperfect praise and worship, perfect before God. Isn't that great? Did Israel have a high priest? Another question. Don't mind the questions here publicly, from the ministry. Did Israel in bondage in Egypt have a high priest? No. What they needed was not a high priest. What they needed was a deliverer. A savior. But for the wilderness, they needed a high priest. They needed a savior. And they got that in Moses. There. In deliverance. Wonderful deliverance. In bondage in Egypt. God sent his deliverer, Moses by name, great man. But priesthood began in the wilderness, after the period of Exodus. Can I repeat these things? I've enjoyed them. I had to jot them down so I'll get it all in order. The coat. No one can spoil the character of Christ. The girdle. No one can see the hidden work of Christ. The robe. No one can strip the Lord of his glory. The breastplate. No one can separate the believer from the love of Christ.
The Urim and Thummim. No one can solve our problems like Christ. Precious, oh Christ. The ephod and the shoulder pieces. No one can support it and strengthen us like our Lord Jesus Christ. The mitre. No one can serve acceptably without Christ. Oh, what a mine of wealth. The study of the high priest garment. Ah, what is? Every part of him speaks of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see tonight the coat speaks of the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus. We're going to see that under the robe of blue, as it is called, we have a girdle. And by the way, it took me a long time to see that there are two girdles in Exodus to do with the high priest. There's a curious girdle of the ephod wrapped around his middle part. This looks like a glorified waistcoat. More than that, of course. The curious girdle of the ephod must be pleased, distinguished from the unseen girdle underneath the robe of blue. Girdles generally in the Bible, our Lord girded himself with a towel and washed his disciples' feet, John 13. Generally, girdles speak of service. So that in the coat, the very basis and foundation of the garments of Aaron, we have the sinless perfection of our great high priest. In the hidden girdle underneath, the robe of blue, we have the perfect service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come back to that. The robe of blue suggests to us in type the sphere of his ministry. Says Hebrews, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Now, the Lord was priestly in features, I believe that, in his lovely life, as we see in the Gospels of Mark, Luke and John. But officially, strictly speaking, may I say, the Lord commenced his priestly ministry upon his ascension and glorification and exaltation to heaven. I think there's one statement proves that in Hebrews 5:22. Saluted of God, priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. He was welcomed in his exaltation. And then he commenced his needful high priestly ministry. Sinlessness of our great high priest. I'm not rushing through your notice. I want you to ponder these things. The sinlessness of our high priest. The service of our high priest. The sphere in which he engages as our high priest. And no. In heaven. The sphere in which he functions. The suitability in the ephod. The suitability of his priesthood. We're going to see that this garment, the ephod, speaks of the holy manhood of our Lord Jesus Christ. See this. Without which you can never be in God's presence, exalted in heaven. You see, because of his manhood, on the days of his rest, he is fitted to function as our great high priest. He understands. He sympathizes. In Hebrews, we have the faithfulness of our high priest. Merciful and favored high priest. We have the feelings of our high priest. Hebrews 4. He sympathizes with us. Faithfulness. The feelings. These are lovely things. We have the features of the Lord's priesthood. We're going to see tonight we have the foundation of his priesthood. And then, the last item that is mentioned in the list of garments for Aaron is, of course, the mitre. Upon which is the golden crown. Usually, in other passages, it's a regal kingly crown. And so we have a standard of his priesthood. What's the standard of the Lord's high priest? Holiness. What was engraved on the golden crown on the forehead of Aaron? Holiness unto the Lord. It's an absolute holiness, my dear Christian friend tonight, that our Lord functions for us as our great high priest. And while we're on the subject, you talk about the sinfulness of our Lord. I can see the Lord typified as king in the golden crown. I can see the Lord typified in the ephod, and the Urim and the Thummim. In some mysterious way, they had to be consulted. The mind of God to be given to the Israelite who was concerned about whatever the problem or probably he had. We don't, whatever it was. He could come to the high priest and ask him the question and tell him the problem, and he would consult those stones in some mysterious way. And he would provide an answer. Isn't that the prophet? Isn't it the office and role of the prophet in the Old Testament, otherwise to reveal the mind of God? He's the king of the golden crown. He's the priest that answers our problem. You hear him. More than that. Prophet, priest, and king. Priest. The essential, I may say, the essential priestly garment that he wore was the ephod. I say this to you. He could not do without this. He may well, if he wanted to, put on the other garments, but if he omitted to put on the ephod, that would be an insult to God. Essentially, the ephod was a priestly garment. He couldn't function without it. So I can see my Lord in the garments of Aaron, and I hope you can too, as king, as priest, and prophet. More than that. Three things are made of linen in Aaron's garments. Three things. The mitre on the head of Aaron. The unseen garment, we'll talk about that soon, under the robe of blue. And the foundation garment in the court, pure linen court. In the pure linen court, we have this fact. In him is no sin. In the linen garment underneath the robe of blue, he did no sin. It's the actions of Christ. In Micah, the golden crown, we see he knew no sin. He knew no sin. That's lovely. This is very lovely. These thoughts are very precious, and I hope you go home enjoying these thoughts. Simple Lord, that may be conveyed to you tonight. What volume, what depth, what great meaning. The mental fruit of Christ is mine. The ministerial fruit of Christ, the moral fruit of Christ. Pure gold. This has been primarily to be an introduction to these garments for the benefit of many Christians likely here tonight who have never listened to it on this subject. What about the coat? Let's say a few things about the coat. Notice I said it's the very foundation of these garments. All these beautiful, resplendent, mysterious in many ways garments rested on the pure linen coat. The foundation and basis of our Lord's effectual high priesthood is sinlessness. And Hebrews, I need to remind you, dwells so much upon the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what? May I suggest, I think the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 7 verse 26 expounds for us the meaning of the code. It's in the context of priesthood and high priesthood and their successors. What does it say? He's holy, harmless, undefiled. Is that not the code? Surely it must be. It must be. Aaron was never holy. I mean, inherently, essentially. Oh, he was a great man. Why is he even called in Deuteronomy 33? Thy Holy One. Goodness. And in one of the Psalms that comes to mind, isn't he called the Saint of the Lord? I'm sure that Aaron, on many occasions, was marked by practical, down-to-earth righteousness and holiness. Holy. We're all saints by divine calling, Romans 1. But we're far from saintly. There's a big difference between a chosen saint and a choice saint. I've met a few choice saints in my time, thank God for them. But every one of us are called by the name of Christ and God. It's God's intention that we be his sons. Sonship is of believers. Is a wonderful subject too, isn't it? Holy. Harmless. The word means you'll not do an injury or hurt another. You will be gentle and kind and considerate to others. Holy, harmless. Was Aaron always like that? Aaron sinned regrettably before he put on the garments. And sadly, Aaron sinned after he'd put on the garments. I take it to chapter 12 of Numbers. Well, would it have been for Aaron and indeed for Miriam had such an event ever taken place? Was Aaron harmless on that occasion? What? Aaron, who should have known better, along with Miriam, you know, what they were doing was doing harm to God's servant. Criticizing God's servant. You take too much upon you. They forgot all about the call of God and the distinctive position the man of God was in, Moses. It could have done untold harm. Initially, anyway, the movement and journey of Israel had to stop for 1 week. Isn't it true that bickering, fault-finding, unkindness, roughness, intolerance can stop the movement and progress of an assembly? Can do much harm. Let us be very, very careful. The unity of the assembly is a precious commodity to God. Don't spoil it anyway. Don't do anything, beloved, I implore you, to do harm to God's people. See, what I'm doing is contrasting in Hebrews 7, verse 26, Aaron, the Lord Jesus. Aaron was never continually habitually holy. Even though he wore these lovely high priestly garments. And Aaron could have done what Miriam did. He could have done more harm than it really did. Miriam became a leper. Disciplined and chastened by God. And the journey stopped for 1 week and sat. Let us move forward, beloved. Let nothing impede the progress of the assembly in unity and blessing and in relationship one to another. Holy, and it was never that essential or continuing. Harmless, what a sad blot upon his character in Numbers 12. Undefiled and undefilable. You see, the high priest Aaron had to wash both hands and feet daily
at the labour in the tabernacle. He was a sinner like any other. In the early verses of Leviticus chapter 9, he offers a young bullock as a sin offering. Is that going back to the golden calf incident of Exodus 32? I think so. He knew he was a sinner. Good man though he was. High position though he occupied. Much precious upon him as Israel's first high priest. Can we see tonight our Lord Jesus, essentially, eternally, inherently holy, unlike Moses. Our Lord Jesus, harmless. Oh God, help us to be sympathetic and have feeling with our dear brothers and sisters, and gentleness. There was no one more gentle than our blessed Lord. And then, holy, harmless, undefiled. Contrast there in that he had to wash. So I think, Pilate saw the broidered coat, no fault in it. I think the centurion beside the cross saw the broidered coat. Sir, this is a righteous man. I think the dire repentant thief saw the broidered coat. This man has done nothing amiss. You know, this linen was absolutely pure. In Aaron's day, it was very costly and very fine. Egyptian, that's where it came from, linen was pure, the best and the costliest you could ever get. We have no comparison today. As far as linen is concerned, you may get the nicest in the world, but what a contrast to this linen pure coat. This was no ordinary cloth. I want to say tonight, our blessed Lord was no ordinary man. He's different. He could say, which of you convinces me of sin? He was not only sinless, and he was not only, I believe, could not sin, but he was personally conscious of his own purity and holiness. These are vital, fundamental truths, beloved. I hope you remember some of these points about the high priest. And the way in which his garments look forward to the greater high priest to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, unlike Aaron, we can repeat again, the garments adorned him, but our blessed Lord adorns the garments. Beloved, the white coat is different from the plain white coat that Aaron will wear on the Day of Atonement. We'll look at that on Sunday afternoon, God willing, if the Lord be not come. Embroidered white linen coat, the foundation of his garments was different to what the priests wore. They were not broidered. This is distinct and different from the Day of Atonement that he wore linen. And the sons of the priests, the linen linen clothing they had. You see, the broidery was not sewn from the outside, was it? No. It was from the inside. It was sewn. Nothing, I say to you tonight, on the outside can be put upon Christ to make him more perfect. No. The coat tells us of the intrinsic purity and worth of our Lord Jesus. Oh, thank God for the broidered coat. But let me share a little word. Time is still at my disposal. What's underneath the blue robe? We are not looking at the garments in the typical order in which they are mentioned in Exodus 28 or any other passage. We are actually looking at them item by item, the way that Aaron, according to Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 6,
would put on physically. We have the physical order in which the garments would be put on. First of all, the coat. And next, before the robe of blue is put on it, next, we have the girdle. Remember, please, to be distinguished always from the curious girdle of the ephod. That could be seen as outward, around the ephod. But you see, this girdle couldn't be seen. It was underneath the robe of blue. What does this speak of? It speaks of the hidden work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we see Christ in his high priestly ministry? I mean, literally, no. He is hidden from view. We know he's there. How do we know he's there? In what way can we enjoy the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus now in our lives? I used to live in London. We used to have some terrible smogs in the 40s and 50s. And how my father, with my armour around him, or hand in his hand, got to the little assembly past Clapham Junction railway station. To this day, I wouldn't know. Real peace soupers we all often had. But anyway, there was a gentleman walking along a street in London. I thought this would illustrate my point here. And he saw a boy with a string in his hand going up. And he was doing this. "My boy, what are you doing?" said the gentleman. "Please, sir, I'm flying my kite." You wouldn't have thought a kite would fly very well in fog, would you? "Please, sir, I'm flying my kite." But "I don't see the kite," said the gentleman. "I can't see it." "How do you know it's there?" "Oh, that's easy, sir. I feel the pull on the string." I thought, when was the last time I, or you for that matter, felt the pull in your heart? As you thought of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It's real. We're precious to him. We mustn't think that the Lord Jesus is passive, doing nothing in heaven. He engages in an intercessory work so necessary and vital for us. No, we can't see our high priest. How do we enjoy the priestly ministry of Christ? By faith. Same way that we enjoy any truth in the Bible. I say again, beloved, when was the last time you felt the pull at your heartstrings as you sat down and thought of the Lord Jesus? Especially thought of his great high priestly ministry. Here's some thoughts about the court. And not only the court, but especially the girdle. I share them with you. How was it made? Fine twine linen. And seeing that the girdle speaks in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, of service, especially the service of our Lord Jesus, he's girded to control in the millennium, Isaiah 11. He's girded with a sword to conquer, Psalm 45. He's girded to cleanse the feet of the disciples. He's girded to chasten in Revelation chapter 1. That's a study. Yeah. The girded Christ. Yes. But let's get back to this. It's made fine twine linen. Three things. As to the ministry and service of our Lord Jesus, pictured in the girdle. Listen. There was no roughness in his ministry. Sure, in heaven now, exalted in his high priestly work, there's no roughness with his work. And certainly down here, did the Lord Jesus manifest a trait of roughness? The way he dealt with his enemies and questioners and those who opposed him. How gentle he was. What tenderness marked him, beloved. I want to say again, there was no roughness in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. God help us in ministry and preaching not to be rough.
as we serve, let us know the gentleness and sympathy and the likeness of Christ. Let us have no bitterness and unkindness and carnality of any kind. Oh, I say yet again with great joy, no roughness in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Fine, twine! No looseness in his ministry. No looseness. If ever a man lived for the truth of God, it was our blessed Lord Jesus, wasn't it? God give us truth without legality and grace without compromise. I'm very, very sad in very recent years of men. I used to stand with on a platform, be a conference platform, so to speak, or stand on a Saturday night, whatever. They no longer believe the things they taught. They've compromised. The faithful, clear ministry that used to mark them and be so profitable has gone. What's wrong? What's happened? I leave you to try and answer that. Pray about this. We want true messages from God. We want the meaning of Scripture to be clearly expounded. All ministry must exalt the Lord. Isn't that the point and sense of 1 Corinthians 12? No man can say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit delights to exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus. And I believe in all ministry, practical, prophetical, poetical from the Psalms, straightforward exposition teaching, should always reflect upon the Lord Jesus. Should always bring glory to him. Are we learning these things? What kind of, where was it, the fine linen? Fine linen. That is, the coat, and next, the girdle under the robe of blue. What do you put on next? After, first of all, before he began his preaching ministry, he put on the coat, yes, but what about the girl you couldn't see here? Even this has something to tell us, something to picture to us of our Lord Jesus. I'm amazed at the small detail that God comments upon and demands in the tabernacle system and in the offerings. Why does he take notice of little things? Because they glorify his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Fine. No. Twine. Linen. No uncleanness in his service. No uncleanness. No roughness. No uncleanness. Fine twine linen, I need to remind you in this, that speaks of the absolute holiness and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, without a doubt. I don't know how far we've travelled in our introduction to the high priest garments. One thing I have not mentioned, and I close with this, is very important. Can you imagine a tabernacle, a sanctuary without a priesthood? Notice in Exodus 25, 26, 27, we have tabernacle details. Then chapters 28 and 29, we have the consecration, call, and clothing of the high priests. And the sons of the high priests, the priests themselves. Then chapter 30 resumes the tabernacle details. Goes on with the story of the tabernacle. But look, sandwiched in between chapter 25, 27 about the tabernacle, and chapter 30 to the end, chapter 40, we have the priesthood. The high priest and his sons had a sanctuary. Priesthood has a need of and must have a sanctuary. These priests, and Aaron included, and all his successors, the high priest, had to serve in connection with the sanctuary. Don't divorce your service, or separate your service from the assembly, the sanctuary. Keep it in mind. Don't do anything in your zeal
that will be detrimental to the sanctity of the assembly. Please. And if you think of some enterprise, a little bit of work in the gospel, tell the elders about it. Don't go blundering on your own and not share it with the brethren. Let us have a holy regard for the assembly. Look, what would the assembly be without a priesthood? Priests. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, you listened very well. I do hope it has been helpful and profitable. We've tried our very best. A little physical weakness, we're not dwelling on that, to exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus. And tell you things which I trust will encourage you, lift up your drooping spirit, and edify you, and perhaps at the same time, challenge you. Tomorrow night, we will further go on to do with the high priest. We will think especially of his robe of blue. Very interesting item of the high priest's garments. Let us pray. Thank you very much.